Turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Thank you.
St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, starting at verse 13. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Thank you, Angela, very much. So let's pray and then we'll look at a few thoughts from that passage. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word of God, Lord, that written in our own language, and Lord, such a blessing. And Lord, in a sense, we know all about the stories of Jesus, so we might join Jesus in thinking that those two men were foolish. But Lord, we've had the opportunity to read the end of the story. So Lord, as we look into these words, I pray you would open our eyes through your Holy Spirit to hear what we need to hear this morning and help us to put it into practice in our daily walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title I was given through the notes you sent was Meeting the Risen Jesus, and I've added the title Journey into Life. In counselling, which I do, there is an intervention called a lifeline. And it's a way of helping people to look back to their lives. And it simply means that you get a sheet of paper, you break your life down into 5-year segments with a line top and bottom, and you put the main events that's happened in your life. And it gives somebody a picture of their lives. So you know, from 0 to 5, I wouldn't have a lot to write for my journey, I don't think. 5, I fell out a window when I was 5. That's one thing that happened to me, which explains a lot, actually. So I fell on my head. But 5 to 10, anyway, that's you get the idea. And it helps to just focus in on the big things that happen in our lives, both good and bad. Well, when we look at our journey into life, if you break your life down into 5-year sections, there will probably be one section where we actually came to know Jesus. It might be a gradual experience that we've always known Jesus. It might be like me, it might be Mission 89 when I went to hear Billy Graham. So it was on a particular night when I went forward and gave my heart to the Lord. But just as in this journey, we're talking about to Emmaus, when I went up with Karen to the Queen's Hall to listen to Billy Graham, I'd no idea that Jesus was anywhere near me. But I met Jesus when I was there. And it parallels the story. So what I want us to think about is, when we're looking at this story, just to think about our own lives and how we too are on a journey into life. And just think for a moment about that time in your life, whenever it might be, when you became aware of God in your life, when you came to know Jesus. And think also about how meeting Jesus changed your life when you look back. And I've heard people say that I don't know how I could have managed what has been happening to me if I didn't know the Lord. Do you think that's fair? Because as Christians, we've got Jesus to fall back on. And it's actually, it's not just pie in the sky, it's a reality, particularly when life gets tough. Even this morning, I sent out some texts to friends. Can you pray for me this morning? Because I'm preaching at Abbotsham. See, it's that knowledge that we can ask somebody to pray for us. So those first disciples were also on a journey into life. They were distressed. They were frightened. They were unsettled. They were fearful. And they did not understand the reality of what had happened to them on the Easter day. If we just put ourselves in their position for the moment, we can perhaps understand that. After all, they had seen Jesus be crucified and die. They had had some stories come back, firstly from the women and then from other disciples. But they hadn't seen Jesus themselves. And just put yourselves in their position for a moment. All their hopes and dreams seem to have been dashed. Can you see how they would feel so distressed and so upset as they walked along? Does that make sense to you? So we put ourselves in their position. And how could they know? Because they can't read the end of the story like we can. So this morning I would like to look at 3 words to pin the message on. One word is explicit, which I've taken, and the other words are implicit in the text. So the first word we find in verse 17. It says, they stood still, their faces downcast. So my first word is downcast. So firstly then, these, as I've said, the men walking along the road, they're all having all these feelings, and they're thinking, well, what's happened? What's happened to Jesus? And their faces are downcast. You can see them walking along the road, looking down at their feet as they walk along. And put yourself in their position, in their timeline for the last 3 years. They had heard about Jesus. They had seen Jesus teach. Just think of that. Just think of Jesus teaching. There was a man that went out to sow some seeds. And they might have been part of that crowd that heard Jesus teach. What an amazing thing. They had seen Jesus perform miracles, or they had heard about the miracles that Jesus performed. Just think, if you were at that first wedding in Cana, and the wine was brought in, and just think about the host of the wedding, and just think of the guest when it was water changed to wine. Just think of what they must have thought about that. They had seen Jesus ride triumphant into Jerusalem on the donkey. All the palm leaves and all the excitement and the hubbub of the city. And there comes Jesus riding on this donkey. But they had seen Jesus be arrested too. And they had seen Jesus be crucified, and they'd seen him die. So when this strange man joins them on their road to Emmaus, these two disciples were so downcast that they even looked at him, really. They just couldn't understand who it was coming alongside them, because all their hopes and dreams had been dashed. It was hardly surprising then that they did not recognize Jesus when he came alongside them. So just to think about, this is where you can join in a bit, as you know I like you to. What makes you downcast in the world today? I've got a list of a few things. What are the sort of things that make you downcast? People who don't want to hear about Jesus make you feel downcast. Yes, that's right. They seem to be spiritually blind, not interested. Yeah, that's. Thank you. Anything else? So you're going along your daily life, and things that make you feel sort of upset your rhythm of your life, they make you feel downcast, dispirited. I'll do one of mine, the news. Oh. My children say to me, why do you keep watching the news? I said, they said, it's so depressing, the news. And I must agree that if you watch the news every single day, do you agree that sometimes it's just all doom and gloom, isn't it? They seem to like to bring up those stories. And it can be very depressing, things that happen. Anything else? I know I'm putting it on you. I've had time to think. Things that make you downcast. What about the weather? You go out and it's raining. It's a grey, horrible, rainy day. You haven't brought your coat. Does that make you downcast? Does me. A bright day lifts you up, doesn't it? Lifts up your spirits. And a rainy day makes you feel downcast. What about pain and illness? And my joints jam up. I do feel downcast because a joint stops where it hurts. That makes me feel downcast. Is that fair? Yeah. It makes us feel downcast with... Pardon?
Especially if you're never without pain.
Exactly. Chronic pain. Sometimes we think, why is somebody a bit grumpy? Because they're in chronic pain. Thank you. Chronic pain can make us downcast. What about a bereavement or a loss? Maybe we talked about, there's a funeral coming up for somebody in this church. That makes us feel downcast, doesn't it? And that's natural and normal, by the way. But a bereavement or a loss, it makes me downcast. I was vigilating an exam this week, and I had to be there at a certain time. And I got down to the quay, and I crossed the crossing, and there was the bus. And I ran along with my bag, and just as I got almost to it, it pulled away. So annoyed. That made me feel downcast. I had to wait 10, 15 minutes for the next bus. It made me a bit late. But sometimes, you will agree that sometimes things happen to us in daily life that bring us down, yes? And, of course, England losing again at football, that makes me feel downcast. Very sad. Don't worry, we'll get to the good bit in a minute. So the first word is what? Downcast. Right. The second word then I've picked is doubt. See all the D's. Doubt. Verse 20. The chief priests and our rulers The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. Just listen to that. I'll just read it again, because the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. Yes, they had heard rumours, but after all, that was only from the woman. It's interesting why God spoke to the women first, of course, but women weren't treated equally in that society. But they saw Jesus, the women saw Jesus. But people said, no, it's only the woman telling us. They had heard that. These two men doubted who Jesus was because he'd been crucified. And it said he was the third day. They doubted all that he had said. They doubted the miracles they'd seen. They doubted his teaching. They doubted the parables they'd heard because they had seen him crucified. I believe that that was a normal reaction, bearing in mind the situation, that you and I would make too. Because we too, well, I can also doubt God at times. Is that fair? That we can doubt God at times? I find sometimes I doubt God. I also believe that it is normal for us as Christians to doubt God at times. We can have times of when we don't believe in God as we walk along, when things happen to us, and we ask the question, why? Why has this happened to me? Why has this happened to my loved one? Etc., etc. You know, there are thousands of Christians who no longer go to church. Various reasons. Sometimes they've been hurt by other people, but often they have doubts and fears, and they go away from God. And they have doubts about the Christian message. And of course, when they go away from the church, they start to get cold. And doubt can creep into our hearts and minds about who Jesus is and about what he has done for us. Verse 20, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. So their hopes, you see, built up, had all been dashed. Can you feel the doubt and sadness through these words? Can you empathize with those early disciples? Because you've got to see what they faced. We read later that the disciples was in a room, an upstairs room, when Jesus appeared for fear of the Jews. Because they were going to start a whole new church following Jesus. And the thousands and thousands of years of worshipping in the temple were going to stop for some people when they started following Jesus. So can you see why the Jews would be very angry about that? They would be trying to persecute the early Christians. Most of the early disciples, the 11, were martyred for their faith in Jesus. So you can see it's such a big historical event that they didn't recognize what was going on right at that moment when they were walking towards Emmaus. So their hopes and dreams have been dashed. So, our first two words. It gets better after this, I promise. What was our first word?
Downcast.
And our second word was doubt. So the last word was discovery. So I've suggested that there were three ways to discover the truth about Jesus. First of all, way one, through the Bible, verse 17. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Oh, just imagine a Bible study led by Jesus. wow, as they were walking along. He just knew the scriptures. Just imagine how that would have, better than any preacher you can ever have at them, when Jesus talked to them about himself. So through the Bible is a way for us to help with our doubts and fears, and helps when we feel downcast. Sometimes, you know, just reading a simple verse from the Bible can lift our spirits. Do you agree with that? Sometimes somebody will send us a text with a verse in. Sometimes it will be our daily reading, and we'll think, oh, we'll read this passage, and you think, that applies to me today. Has anybody else felt that? And you think, it could be that God's speaking into my circumstances. Well, why is this? Because we're reading the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God, and it has relevance through all generations. So our first hope is, or first discovery then, that they had on the road to Emmaus, and our discovery too, is that we can find hope through the Bible. The second way we can discover about Jesus again is through the Holy Spirit, verse 31 in the passage. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. I've often wondered about that, and when you go into it, and you think, well, was it something Jesus did? Was it did he suddenly show them the scars in his hands? And then I thought, well, hang on a minute. It could be that their eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, that rings true to me, because when I went to see Billy Graham, I had no notion of going to church the following day at all in my head. I turns up there, and suddenly I'm walking at the front and giving my heart to the Lord. Well, what's that about? Well, surely that's got something to do with the Holy Spirit and my eyes being opened. So I just believe that the Holy Spirit worked on those disciples through those circumstances and opened their eyes to see with Jesus. Yes, I know they recognized Jesus when he broke the bread, but I believe that Jesus was revealed to them through the Holy Spirit. And the third avenue of discovery I've thought of is through personal experience, verse 32. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So our personal experiences of Jesus in the good times and the bad times make a difference to our discovery. And I'm sure that we've all got a tale to tell and a testimony of how Jesus has done something in our lives. Is that true? That you could say, there's a point when Jesus helped me with this. There's a point when Jesus did this. There's a point when Jesus did a miracle in my life. And this is what happened here. Personal experience of Jesus is so important. And as we go along our ways, I mean, I've said this before, even to getting a job. God looks after our working lives, and he looks after our personal lives. He looks after our families. And when we trust in him, and our personal experience in the past has been that God is with us, so therefore we can say, I believe that God will be with us in the future. Do you think that's fair? That we can, because God has done this in the past, we can trust God to do it in the future. So it says in the scripture, when were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures? God was at work. They had a personal experience of Jesus on the road. So, conclusion. On that first Easter Sunday, the disciples were on a journey. They were on the road to Emmaus. And the disciples in Jerusalem too, and the disciples on the road, were downcast and doubtful about who Jesus really was. But after meeting Jesus, they made a discovery about who Jesus was. They discovered who Jesus was for themselves. They went back, they shared it with their disciples, and later on, Jesus met with them all. My prayer is this morning that each one of us will discover afresh, through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit and through personal experience who Jesus is and recognize afresh what he has done for us. And our last hymn sums it up because it says, King of kings, majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, all within me falls at your throne. And then the chorus says, Your majesty, I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. So shall we just pray before we sing that song? Thank you. Lord, looking at your word, Lord, reveals a lot to us. It just reveals a little bit of the journey of the disciples, and I believe there's a parallel for us today. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, that as we go through our lives, that we would discover more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, through our reading of the Bible, Lord, we can discover new things each day. Through the work and purpose of the Holy Spirit, and through our personal experience of the Lord Jesus working in and through us as Christians. And Lord, I pray just a blessing, Lord, on us today that we would see the risen Jesus afresh and walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing our last song now. That's number 1,000, King of Kings, Majesty. Thank you. Majesty, I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. Lord, I just pray we would leave this place with your blessing, the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.